Praise the Lord. How many of us love the presence of God? Amen. You're grateful for his presence tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. What a good night this has been. A wonderful time to just come together in his presence. And his presence is here. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. And he's here. And I thank God for this opportunity, the privilege. It's a great privilege at times you say that, but thank God for this privilege, a great privilege to just come this evening before you with the word of the living God, with God's word tonight, the things that he's been speaking to me out of the devotions. But I don't think it's unique to me. I think as we worship tonight, as we began to be in the presence of the Lord tonight, you just hear just what God is speaking already, even to us and to our hearts tonight. And, when we come together in a gathering like this and have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, there's wonderful opportunities for God, because he does want to speak to you. He does want to speak to me, and as Pastor was praying, we do pray for that. Oh, as Pastor was saying, we do pray for that, and I thank God for the prayers of the saints, your prayers for Pastor Patrick and Sister Rosa as well. They're our pastor. We do have a senior pastor. Pastor Patrick is our youth pastor. He's been our pastor. We've been serving with him and under his leadership. Many of us workers and leaders, volunteers for many years now, and Sister Rosa, his wife as well. And we just continue to ask you to just continue to lift them up in prayer, lift us up, lift one another up in prayer tonight and as the days go ahead. And I thank God with all my heart as you and I just continue to allow the Lord to use us in that way. But God began to speak something to my heart, and they might have the title up there already. And just today, a title came, subject matter, something to just call it. You might see it, you don't want to be cryptic or overly spiritual, but his way is through the valley. Through the valley. And as Christians, as believers, born again, we come into the house of the Lord. We come to Christ. We hear the gospel message, the good news. For those who don't know what that is, it's a message of what God did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. When we come to Christ, we receive Christ. And we put our faith in him, and our lives are changed. We begin to see the change of God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, right? And all things are? That was checking whether you were sleeping on me. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, all things are passed away, and all things are made new. All things are made new, and there's a change that begins to take place in your life and in my life as well. But a part of our walk with the Lord and what God began to show me is that God begins to take us through not just mountain experiences and mountains and experiences with him. We know the joy of the Lord. We know his presence. We come together in a gathering like this. We come together in fellowship. We come together and even in our own devotions, we see God strengthening our lives. We see the power of God at work in our lives, but at work through our lives as well. But we begin to understand that God also allows us to go through times of difficulties, times of trials, times of afflictions, times of like valley experiences. Times that at times we don't even begin to understand, like, what is going on and why am I going through the things that I'm going through. How many of us understand what I'm saying? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, good news, well, relatively good news, you will understand in the days ahead. And I felt that that's what God was beginning to speak to me. And I would say, you know, God over the years has taken me through trials. Now, this was not a message birthed out of, oh, let me come and tell you what I've been through. I've been through it all and I know it all, and let me come and share that with you. But God began to show me something, and I felt that there's a need, whether as a reminder or just to share with you about this place and this difficulty, these seasons that we go through as Christians and believers. And I want to look at a few examples, and I'll just go through them real quickly for time's sake. And I hope you're there and you have your ears wide open. But some familiar persons in the scriptures. And the first one, right? The man who was given a coat of many colors, and his name is Joseph. This is like Bible study, right? This is impromptu Bible study time. His name is Joseph, and the Bible makes it clear that Joseph was loved of his father. He had a few brothers, 11 brothers, a mom, and other siblings, and we find Joseph in this place, in this season of his life, a young man. The Bible speaks about the promises of God that are given to him. So as a young man, Joseph begins to receive a dream from the Lord, a dream that God has given him, a dream that is by the inspiration of God. And Joseph begins to see this dream, understand, and even begins to share it with his brothers. He knows the comfort of home. He knows the comfort of a father who loves him, who appreciates him. He knows the joys of coming home, having his dad there, his mom there, like this family structure around him. I can see him coming home, and his mom is cooking like his favorite dish, and he's coming home, and everything just seems well and so good. But suddenly Joseph is brought into this place. Suddenly, Joseph is brought into this experience. Suddenly, Joseph is thrust into a season of trials, a season of afflictions, where he's separated from family, and even that it's even not even a stranger, but even his own family that begin to, he goes through a time of betrayal, and his family is like the root cause of this betrayal. And I was reminded, and just thinking about it, and even as we watched that video earlier, that at times it can be through our family, our very own family, whether it's abuse. Over the years, at times you hear somebody who has gone through abuse, and it's a loved one, somebody who's trusted, somebody who's around you, and suddenly they turn against you. There's abuse, whether it's verbal or physical, emotional, whatever that abuse might be. It could be separation. I think of our brother Derek and this drama that is coming up, that God wants to use in such a powerful way. And we're in a generation where fathers are being separated from their children, and children, young people, are growing up without a father. And Joseph finds himself in this place. Joseph finds himself separated. He finds himself feeling a sense of betrayal, a sense of loss, and it's related to family. And at times you and I can be in that place where we're going through a sense of betrayal, a sense of affliction, a sense of suffering, a sense of going through a valley experience, and it's because of a family member. It's because of our families around us. Suddenly, our dad is no more there, and for whatever reason, or maybe the parents are going through a divorce, and suddenly you find yourself in this place. But the Bible says this concerning Joseph, that when he was taken from his family, separated, even brought into this place of slavery, that God was with Joseph. God was with him. God was with Joseph. Now, at times it might not feel like it, and it might not seem like it, but God was with Joseph. David, another familiar person in the scriptures. David was a man, a young man as well, and the Bible says that he was anointed to be king. He was anointed to be king. God had a plan for his life, something concerning and for his life. And he was anointed as a young man to be king. And the Bible makes it clear that he was God began to elevate him and promote him. And the Bible says that he got married. He was now in the house of Saul in the palace. The king Saul was there. And suddenly the people began to declare or speak concerning the things that were happening in the life of David. They began to say, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. And David could see on one hand things going well, on the other hand things going well. And I've been there. Maybe you have been there as well, where you begin to see it and you almost like, okay, God, this is how you're doing things. This is how it's going to work out. Oh, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get this promotion. And then I'm going to get this increase in salary as well. And this is going to happen. And that is going to happen. And things are going to work in a certain way. But suddenly, David finds himself on the run for his life. David finds himself on the run for his life. And King Saul, the Bible makes it clear, is chasing him. There's this hostility. And I was reminded of this thought that it could be, and it represents at times that supervisor. You're on the job, you're doing well, there's a sense of God with you, there's a sense of God's hand on your work, and God is blessing you, there's a sense of excellency. But suddenly on the job, there's this hostility from maybe a coworker, a colleague, a supervisor, a manager around you, and suddenly you find yourself under attack, and this boss or this manager is suddenly angry with you, and you might not even understand why they're angry with you. What is going on? Like, what is this person's problem? What is their problem? Amen. Anybody have an experience like that? I see a witness, one person, two people. And that's what David was going through. That's what, but you know, not only that, but I see some other things in the scriptures. Suddenly David finds himself not only there, but his friendships as well were affected. And there are times and seasons, and looking back in my life, that it's not just one thing that you begin to face, not just one area in your life, but it seems like this is going wrong over here. His friendships were going on, and I was looking, and he was best friends, BFFs with Jonathan, and suddenly he's separated from his best friend, from Jonathan. His marriage is affected as well, and suddenly he finds himself in this place and is on the run and fear, and even gets a place in this journey, in this place, where he even is acting like he's mad. He makes even mistakes. He goes through it. But the Bible says that God was with him. The Bible makes it clear in Psalm 23, as we heard earlier, David himself would write and pen the Psalm 23, and it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But he would write and he would say, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And David would go to this place, but God would bring him through. And he's writing this, and I believe he's looking backward in a sense. David would come through this place, and God would bring him through the affliction. It would bring him through this hostility. A coworker not even talking to you, and you don't even know why. Why are you not even talking to me? I remember going through that experience in my own walk, getting promoted and coming into a different department. And one of my colleagues, I would come in and I would say hello or good morning, and the person would not say anything to me. And I got promoted higher than this individual who was in the department longer than me. And I came in a more senior position, and the person would not say hello to me. And it went on for a season, but God was faithful. I got one amen. God was faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful to David. God brought him through this time. Do you know that a few weeks ago, that same individual, I left and got another job. She left and got another job. But she was calling me and telling me about a job somewhere else, because today God turned it around, like we just sang a moment ago. I turned it around so that we're even in touch. When they did a send-off for her, she called me to invite me to a send-off when she was leaving the company. Amen. Give him praise. Amen. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. Let's consider somebody else as we look now and move from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And you say, okay, those were people in the Old Testament. Those are the people in the days of old. We talk about Joseph, we talk about David, but the Bible speaks about two men, Paul and Silas, and these guys came to mind, and the Bible makes it clear that they were in a particular place, in a particular area. They were serving, they were involved in ministry, they were hearing the call of God for their lives, and suddenly, like Isaiah, they said, they heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall go for us? And they responded and said, God, here am I, send me, help me to be an usher, help me to get involved in prayer. Help me to come and sing and be used by you in the things of God. And suddenly they're moving in the things of God. They're hearing the call. They're responding to the things of God. Their lives begin to reflect the power of God. Their lives begin to reflect the things of God. And God begins to use them to share and testify of the things that God has done in their lives. And they begin to see the presence of God, to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted up in their lives. Now, there are times where you think, okay, you know what? I'm sharing, I'm serving the Lord, I'm in ministry, and everything should be okay. There should be no problems. God, I'm doing everything I should do or I know to do according to the scriptures. But the Bible says that suddenly they find themselves cast into a dungeon. Suddenly they find themselves under attack, and they're taken and they're thrust into a dungeon, and their feet and their hands are put in stocks, and suddenly they're beaten for their faith. They're beaten in the service to the Lord. They're in service to God, and they find themselves suddenly now in this place. But the Bible says that at midnight, by the grace of God, not in their own strength, not in their ability, they began to sing. They began to pray. There's this song that we used to sing years ago. It's Paul and Silas. They prayed, they sang, and the Holy Ghost came down. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake in that place, and the place was shaken. And the chains or the stocks that were in their hands and their feet were released. And the door, the prison doors were opened, but not only their own lives, not only their own prison doors, but the doors of the other prisoners as well. They're in this place, beaten in stocks, in prison, but God begins to do a work in them and through them, and a song begins to come out, and they begin to sing, and God comes out. And, you know, it speaks to me, and what I began to think of and what came to mind. You know, as Christians, like I said, you're getting involved in ministry, you're serving the Lord. And it's not, you know, because the devil would want to say, okay, don't serve the Lord. You're going to go through afflictions, you're going to go through trials. But we're hearing the Lord, we're hearing his voice calling us. And there's, you know, something he puts in our heart, a love for God that he first put there in our own hearts. And it's him who has drawn us. It's him who has invited us. And, you know, the devil will come to try and take you away from your post. It's happened to me. It's happened to many. The devil will try and drive you from your post, try and drive you from what God has called you to, the invitation of God, wherever he has you, wherever the Holy Spirit has put you in the house of the Lord. It's the hand of God upon your lives. It's the calling of God. It's the faithfulness of God. He's there. He's called you there. He's been faithful to raise you up. He's been faithful to call you there. And it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter what he throws against you. God is faithful. He's there with you. He will keep you there. He will be good to you there. He will use you there, not only in your own life, but in the lives of other people as well. Because it's not just, like we're hearing tonight, not just our own lives, but in the lives of, this is what happened to Paul and Silas. The prison doors to the other prisons were open, but here's this man suddenly crying out, wanting to kill himself. I see the jailer coming and saying, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul says, no, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. And this man and his family come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it speaks to me of families, the impact of the Holy Ghost in and through your life, that God allows us, and I don't even begin to get it. I'm not going to tell you that I begin to get it all. You know what I'm saying? But the things that God allows you and allows me to go through, that his name may be glorified in and through our lives. Amen. To the praise and to the glory of his holy name. Amen. Amen. Give him praise. Amen. He's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care his lies that are coming against you. Amen. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that you have it together. It's not that you don't make mistakes, because there are times it's even our own struggles. There are times when we make mistakes, choices that are wrong. But God is merciful. God comes to us. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Amen. And he says, I will forgive you. He says, if God were to regard iniquity, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with, you know, another thing is that at times we don't even want to come to the things of God. At times we're afraid. We don't even want to come nearer, getting involved in ministry. We begin to like compare ourselves to others, but just come as you are. Come as you are in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The three disciples, the Bible says that Jesus invites them to come into this place. They go up into the mountaintop. They go up into this place, and it's that coming to Christ and the joy of the Lord. You come in and you experience the presence of God. You experience his love. You experience the joy of the Lord. You experience the glory of the Lord, and you see him. You behold him. You're drawn nearer to him, and they were in this place, and the Bible says that Jesus was revealed to them. They see the glory of Christ. They see him revealed before their eyes. They begin to experience things that other people don't get to experience. They're in this place, and they see Christ. They hear the voice of the Father, and they're in this place. And Peter says, can we make tabernacles? Can we make this place of permanency, of dwelling here? But I'm reminded, the Bible says that they came down from the mountain, and suddenly at the bottom of that mountain, there's this father who has brought his son to Jesus Christ, and his disciples are seemingly unable in their own strength, in their own abilities to set this young man free, unable in their own selves, in their own strength. And it seems like the devil is in this place where he's saying, no, you can't set anybody free. You can't be free. You can't set anybody else free. You can't make a difference in your life and in the life of other people. And there's this sense of the enemy. One moment they're in the glory of God. One moment they're in the presence of God. One moment they're in this mountaintop. And the next moment they're brought into the valley. They're brought into this place, and they see these things in front of them, and it looks impossible. Over the years, how many times have you heard where it's almost like this is too difficult for us? This is too big a situation. This situation is too big. Don't even try. Don't even go there. Don't even volunteer. Don't even come nearer to the Lord. But the Bible makes it clear that as they came down from the mountaintop, I'm reminded that they were talking to Jesus. They were talking to Jesus and asking him about the things of the scriptures. They were communing with Jesus Christ, and Christ was with them. They came down from the mountain, but they didn't come down from the mountain alone. He was walking with them, communing with them, talking with them. And when they came to this impossible situation, when they came to these difficulties, he was the one who moved the situation. He was the one. Now they had a physical Christ that was with them, present with them, walking with them. But now the Bible says that he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, that he is with us. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, whether I feel it or I don't feel it, amen. As Pastor would say at times, we faith it. We agree with God, and God, you are with me, and we see Christ in us, his power, his presence, make these impossible situations possible. He begins to set free. He begins to glorify his name. He begins to do what we cannot do in our own natural strength, in our own natural ability. Some promises that God began to remind me of. Hallelujah. 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 Do you hear what the Lord is saying tonight? Do you hear what the Lord is saying tonight? I look back and see God's faithfulness. I look back and see the grace of God. I look back and see his mercy. I look back in my own life, and like we sang it tonight, if it wasn't for your mercy, if it wasn't for your grace, I don't know where I'd be without you. And, you know, at times, and I've been there, like you're in this place of struggle. You're in this place where the enemy seems to laugh. I think of Goliath, who came into that valley on a daily basis laughing and threatening and mocking and said, send out a man against me, send out a man, send out a champion. And this young boy came out into that valley, and God used him. God glorified his name. And that's the power of God. It's not by power. The Bible says it's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I don't know where you are, what you're going through, but I just feel that God is wanting to encourage us. One, understanding his way, understanding that there are times we go through difficulties, whether it's in your family, whether it's on the job, times of our own struggles when we fall short, times even in ministry, amen, whatever that might be, but he has always come through. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of it all. Amen. Amen. Give him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to turn to one verse of scripture, and then I think we're going to come to a close. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, James chapter 1 and verse 12. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And that's my prayer. That's what I've been praying. God, help us to endure trials and temptations. You know, I think even the secular people, secular being people who are not even Christians, I was hearing on a television program, they were talking about colleges and the rate of suicide in colleges and the numbers being so high. People talk about the pressures that young people face, and not just young people as in teenagers, I think college students, young adults, but I don't think it's only restricted to youth and young adults, adults as well that are facing in this time. And but I felt that one of the things God was saying to me, and I was seeing in the scriptures, is not just things now, but even the days ahead, things to come. And I'm like, God, help us. Lord, would you help us? Help us, oh God. Help us to endure, like the Bible says in this verse of scriptures. Help us to endure the trials. The Bible says there's a crown awaiting us in eternity. There's a crown. But help us to endure through the trials. But one of the things I see, and I began to say and began to pray to the Lord, not only help us to endure, but even as we pray tonight, help us to also bring others along with us. You see it in the life of Joseph. You see it in the life of David. You see it in Paul and Silas. You see it in the disciples as they came down from that mountain, the three Hebrew boys, a type of the church, and going through a time of affliction and told by society they have to bend the knee and worship in a particular way. But the king says, I see another one in the fire, and the fourth is like unto the Son of Man. Help us not only to endure, but help us to bring others with us as well, people who are also going through it. And one last thing, as I was praying, that came to mind, you know, just remembering, like recently, actually Pastor shared a message recently that came to mind, and he just talked about not only going through, but, you know, also God using him in a time of going through a struggle, a time of going through a difficult moment, and somebody just reaching out a hand and saying, God bless you, Holy Ghost handshake, and how what he was going through, God began to just cause it to be broken, and he was brought into a place of strength, a place of freedom as well. And I began to say, God, help us to reach out to somebody else, yes, in the house of the Lord, but also that God will use us even out there as we begin to let him and begin to call on his name and say, God, help me through my trial, but help me to also reach out to somebody else as well in the name of the Lord. Amen? Can we give him thanks for his word tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the musicians to come tonight as we close. But would you just take a moment? Amen. I know it's getting to the end of the night. Don't rush out. But tonight, just with all my heart, if that's you tonight, and I've been there, you know what I'm saying? I've been there through times of trial. You're going through a difficult time. You're going through a trial right now, and you want the Lord to meet you. You want him to touch you. You want us to stand with you in the place of prayer and believe God for you. We want to do that tonight and see God begin to touch your life. And you might even be here and you've never come to Christ. You've never put your faith in Christ. Maybe you have a form of religion, knowledge, or whatever it might be, but that God loves you. I thank God for the day that the love of God was revealed to me. God began to tell me how much he loved me, that he sent his son to die for my sins, that God would even want me, like all the stuff I've been through, the place I was at, that God so loved me, so loved you, he gave his son that whosoever would believe in him, and I've never been the same again. He's changed my life, and many have been in that place, are in that place. But tonight, if you don't know him, if you have never opened your heart to Christ, if you're backslid and maybe you're living for God and you stopped, something happened and you turned away, we're going to invite you as well to come. Those who are going through, but also those who are saying and praying the same thing, God, help me. Help me in what I'm going through. Help me to endure, but even the things that are ahead of me. Lord Jesus Christ, whatever may come my way, afflictions, difficulty on society as a whole, on the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, God, you are going to be faithful. I don't know how, but I'm going to put my trust in you and my hope is in you. Amen. Would you rise to your feet tonight? Amen. And just come on out tonight and come to the front. We call it an altar. And just come to the Lord. You give it to God tonight. You come. Don't look at anybody else. You begin to come. And many will come tonight. Many are coming and saying, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I can't do this in my own strength. Help me to stand, but help me to bring others with me. Not just my own life, not just what I'm going through. Help me. And I'm praying the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Would you just lift up your hands? Would you look to him, turn your eyes to him tonight? Would you bless him? Would you thank him? Would you tell him you need him? Would you tell him that you need him? None but Jesus. Would you tell him that you love him? Would you tell him that you can't make it in your own strength? Tell him, you tell him. You open your mouth, you tell him, I need you, God. I need you, I need you. I can't make it in my own strength, oh God. Glorify your name in my life, through my life. God, use my life. Use me, God. Use me. Don't let me be focused only on my own self, oh God, what I'm going through. Lord, thank you, God, for the mountains. Thank you for the valleys. God, I don't understand everything I'm going through, but thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you're in control. You are good. You've been so faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Lord, we love you tonight, God. We need you tonight, God. You've been so faithful, God. You've been so good to us, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, Jesus. Thank you for each one, God, who has responded to this word. Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, to you, whether they're at the altar, in their seats, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You yourself said endure, Lord Jesus. Oh God, you bless those who endure tests and trials, temptations. Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, help us, oh God. Lord, give us the strength that we need, oh God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. You yourself said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. God, every affliction, oh God, thank you, God, with everything in our hearts. Lord, we ask for mercy tonight, oh God Almighty, in Jesus' name. Lord God Almighty, where, God, we ourselves, oh God, the things you have allowed into our lives, oh God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. God Almighty, in the name of, you said if you were to regard iniquity, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you, God. The Bible says that, God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, oh God. And thank you for those who, God Almighty, in Jesus' name, are putting their faith in you for the first time, Lord Jesus, and those who are coming back to you, God. Lord, thank you, God Almighty. You said, go and sin again no more. Lord God, that's what you said to the woman caught in the very act of adultery, God Almighty. You said, where are your accusers? And you yourself said, neither do I accuse you. And you said, go and sin no more. And so, God, thank you for the grace, oh God. Thank you, God, for new lives. Thank you for cleansing tonight, oh God. Thank you for new robes of righteousness, oh God. Thank you for your power. Thank you, God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, oh God, for victory tonight. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, God, that we go out of here rejoicing, oh God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, knowing that we are invited, we're welcome. You yourself said, come boldly to the throne to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need, oh God. And so we thank you with everything in our hearts, oh God. We're asking, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you'd help us, oh God. We're asking, oh God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, oh God, not only would you help us, oh God, to endure, but help us, oh God, to bring others along. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage somebody, Lord God, not only in the house of the Lord, but as we go to our schools, our colleges, our workplaces, our families. Lord God, we ask these things and we thank you for it and we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Give him thanks tonight. We love you. We love you tonight.